Luke chapter 16, verses 16 through 18. This is the word of the Lord. The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone forces his way into it. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and he who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery. This is the word of the Lord. In Luke chapter 16, when Jesus speaks of the law and the prophets, he is speaking of the Old Testament scriptures. That is why the law and the prophets were until John. For the prophets end with the expectation of Elijah before the coming of the Lord. And this expectation was fulfilled in John, who came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. This expectation was fulfilled in John, who prepared the way of the Lord. And as the expectation of Elijah was fulfilled in John, so the coming of the Lord was fulfilled in Jesus. And with the coming of Jesus, we have the coming of the kingdom. With the coming of Jesus, we have the coming of the kingdom of God. And through Jesus, we are able to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, in verse 17 of Luke chapter 16, Jesus speaks of heaven and earth passing away. And this makes sense given what he has just said about the law and the prophets coming to an end. For again, the prophets end with the expectation of Elijah and the coming of the Lord. But what is that coming of the Lord? It is the coming of the Lord in judgment. It is the coming of the Lord in the day of the Lord. Malachi chapter 4. Verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And throughout Scripture, the day of the Lord, it is a day on which heaven and earth pass away. The day of the Lord marks the end of this world. And so the coming of the kingdom, it means the passing away of this world for the next. But notice what Jesus says in verse 17. about the heaven and earth passing away. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. Now here again, we see that in speaking of the law, Jesus is referring to Scripture. He is referring to something that is written as the dot of verse 17. It is referring to the smallest point of a written letter. And so here we have a very high view of Scripture, a high view of the written text of Scripture, a high view of the written text of the law as being the Word of God. It's the very words themselves, including their smallest markings, their smallest pointings, their smallest dots. It's the words themselves that are identified with that word that cannot become void. And that word cannot become void. For we know that Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. That word cannot become void because it is the Word of God. Jesus did not come to abolish that word, but to fulfill it. The kingdom of God, it comes through Jesus, not abolishing the law, but fulfilling the law. The day of the Lord, it comes not through Jesus abolishing the law, but through His fulfilling the law. He did not come to abolish the law, but He came to fulfill it. Heaven and earth do not pass away without His fulfilling it. Now, as with the law and the prophets in verse 16, in speaking of the law in verse 17, we may say that Jesus is speaking not simply of a part of the Old Testament, but of the whole of the Old Testament. In Scripture, the law can refer to the law that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. It can refer to the writings of Moses as a whole, the first five books of the Old Testament. Or it can even refer to the Old Testament as a whole. The Old Testament is not made void by Jesus, but rather, the Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus. But in speaking of the whole of the Old Testament as the law, we are reminded that the whole of the Old Testament, it informs the will of the Lord as it has been revealed to us that we should obey it. It's not just the commands that may be found in the Old Testament that are to be obeyed, but it is the whole of the Old Testament that is to be obeyed. The whole of the Old Testament, it informs us of that will of the Lord, which has been revealed to us that we should keep it, that we should obey it. A command in Scripture, it cannot be read in isolation, but it must be read in the context of Scripture as a whole. For Jesus came not only to keep various commands of the Old Testament, But he came to keep the whole of the Old Testament. He came not only to fulfill various promises of the Old Testament, but he came to fulfill the whole of the Old Testament. And he did not abolish the Old Testament, but rather he upheld it and he fulfilled it. He upheld the whole of it and he fulfilled the whole of it. Not one word of the Old Testament has become void in him. The entirety of it has been fulfilled in him. And this affects our own relationship to the Old Testament. Jesus' relationship to the Old Testament, it affects our relationship to the Old Testament. It was the Word of God for him, and it is the Word of God for us. The Old Testament remains the Word of God for us. The Old Testament remains authoritative for us. But we can no longer read it on its own. It must be read with the New Testament. It must be read in the light of Christ. When we read the Old Testament, we must read it in the light of its fulfillment by Christ. And whatever the Old Testament commands of us, whatever it requires of us, we are to follow it, we are to obey it in Christ. Christ has fulfilled the Old Testament for us, that we might follow the Old Testament in him. And thus the way in which we obey the Old Testament, the way in which we obey the law, it will not always be identical to the way in which it was followed by those who lived before the death and resurrection of Christ. It will not always be identical to the way in which it was followed by those who lived before the coming of the kingdom in Christ. An obvious example of this would be the sacrificial system of the tabernacle. And the command to bring sacrifice to the Lord, and the requirement to approach the Lord through the blood of sacrifice. Now, even in the Old Testament itself, that tabernacle gave way to the temple. And so even in the Old Testament itself, even within the Old Testament itself, the commands of the Old Testament were not always obeyed in the same way by the people in all of that time. But now, especially for us that Christ has come, we no longer offer the blood of bulls and goats. We no longer offer that blood at the tabernacle or even at the temple. We no longer offer the blood of bulls and goats in approaching the Lord. And it is not that we ignore those commands, but rather they are kept by us in a different way. We keep those commands in the way in which they were always intended to be kept. By approaching the Lord, not through the blood of bulls and goats, but through the blood of Christ. By approaching the Lord through the blood of Christ offered for us. And so the Old Testament law, it has not been abolished. It has been fulfilled in Christ for us. And even now we keep it in Him. But the manner of our keeping it is not always identical to how it was kept before. And that is not only true for what we might call the ceremonial law. It is true for the whole of the law. It is true for the whole of the Old Testament. Our obedience to all the Scriptures is an obedience in Christ. It must be shaped by what has come in Christ. For Christ is the fullness of revelation. Christ is not only the fulfillment of Scripture, but He is also the fullness of Scripture. All Scripture finds its fulfillment in Christ, and all Scripture finds the fullness of its meaning in Christ. We see this even with the moral law. We see this even with the Ten Commandments. Christ makes known to us the depth of those commandments. The command against murder. It extends even to the hate within our hearts. Command against adultery. It extends even to the lust of our eyes. And so it is with the law concerning marriage and divorce and remarriage. What the Scriptures require of us with regard to marriage and divorce and remarriage, the fullness of that requirement is revealed in Christ. Now, verse 18 of our passage. To many, it seems that this verse is misplaced or has been randomly inserted in our passage. But it makes good sense to have it here in the context of what Jesus has just said concerning the abiding validity of the law. For even here, Jesus is teaching us how to read the Scriptures. Even here, Jesus is teaching us how to read the Old Testament in the light of Him. For as Jesus is the Lord, He is also the giver of the law. And He teaches to us the ethic of His kingdom. Now, what He has to say about marriage and divorce and remarriage, it is rooted in the Old Testament. But what He has to say requires us to interpret the Old Testament in the light of what he has said. And this is perhaps best seen by noting the tension between what Jesus says here and what we find in the law that he has just affirmed. In Luke chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus says that everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And he who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery. Now compare that to what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4. When a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes, because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house, and if she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the latter man hates her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter man dies, who took her to be his wife, then her former husband who sent her away may not take her again to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. Now, there is much to say about that passage, almost all of which will be left unsaid this evening. But in simply reading those verses, we can hear something of the tension between the law in Deuteronomy chapter 24 and what Jesus says in Luke chapter 16. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, there is no notion that the man who marries the divorced woman has committed adultery in doing so. But that is what Jesus says in Luke chapter 16. And so if we are to understand what is required in Deuteronomy chapter 24, we must read it in the light of what Jesus says in Luke chapter 16, which will take some time to work through. But the point of what we are saying is this. Whatever the law may be, if we are to obey the law of Scripture, we must interpret it in the light of all Scripture. And that was true not only in the time of the Old Testament, but even more so now. If we are to obey the law of Scripture, we must interpret that law in the light of Christ. We must obey that law as it has been fulfilled by Christ. We must obey that law as those who are in Christ. Now what Jesus says in Luke chapter 16, verse 18. It is rather abrupt. And it is without qualification. For that reason, some find it to be harsh. But if you find what Jesus says in Luke chapter 16, verse 18, to be severe, you should also be thankful. You should be thankful for it. And why should you be thankful for it? Because you are the bride of Christ. And Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Even this law. There is no question of Jesus divorcing his bride to marry another. He would never do that to his bride. Could never do that to his church. He will never do that to you. He gave himself for you. Gives himself to you. And to himself, he will present you. He belongs to you. And you belong to him. Not only for a time, but forever. He will never lose interest in you. He will never tire of you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. His name is faithful. His name is true. And so to Him be our love and adoration and praise. Amen. Let us pray.